Tonight on TMS PM, Bacon House.
The White House is taken.
Playboy goes clean.
How old is that penis in the window?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? Morning people are weird.
Esports with Garrett.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of The Morning Stream PM.
This is The Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM. This is the illustrious fifth episode of the show that we do weekly because you on Patreon have supported us. Patreon.com/TMS. Without you, there is no fifth episode. So pat yourself on the back. Be grateful for the extra change in your pocket. And thank you for sending a little our way.
That's right.
Anyone else want to join? You could do it too. You could be in our exclusive Slack group. I almost said SAT group. That's not a SAT group. Although there is a film, there is a film SAT group in there.
There is. There's a group for everything. There's a group where I'm talking to people about 3D printing, and there's another group of people talking about music and gaming. And
it's great.
Lots of regional stuff, foreign listeners. Yep. You know, you can't spell aggro without AGR.
No, that's right.
Have you started up AGR?
I thought I did. Did I not? Shit. You know, once in a while you forget what you're doing,
that's right.
And I'm going to do it right now. This will only take a second. Everyone, just do what you're doing. Just relax. Calm down. We're on channel 3, are we not? Yes. Okay. Here it is. It's, this is terrible. Hold on. Where is it? I can't find it. Current Geek. Oh, PM. Not Current Geek. PM. PM. Here we go. PM. I can't find it. Why can't I find it? TMS. Oh, there it is. Okay, we got it. Now they should shut up. We got it.
Channel 3.
Y'all are set. Brian and I are here. We're going to do it. We're going to make another one of these. So sit back, grab a drink or something, and enjoy what will likely be the greatest moment of your lives.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
I don't think we have anything for... We don't really have anything for evening news.
You want to talk about bacon?
I'm going to tell you about my bacon story for our sort of evening news sponsorship, okay?
Sure,
even though it doesn't make sense, but... Kim had... So there's this huge thing of bacon she got some sale on, okay? Some screaming
rasher,
deal.
A rasher of bacon.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think it's a rasher of bacon.
All right. It's a lot of... sodium pentothal and whatever is in bacon.
I hope not.
What is it that's
pentothal
in there?
Pentothal is that's the truth serum, sodium pentothal.
What am I that's right, it is. What am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking of nitrates. That's nothing to do with sodium pentothal.
Right.
Full of nitrates. Anyway, she has a big old, as you would call it, a rasher of bacon, and it's a ton of it. And she was concerned that the longer you keep that in the freezer, the longer you're tempting fate to freezer burn it or have it go bad or something. So she decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cook this whole batch, this entire rasher of bacon, although she didn't say
actually, no, I'm looking at it. I guess I thought a rasher was a big chunk of bacon, but I guess it also could be, it also could mean a thin slice of bacon, which is exactly the opposite.
Of a ton of bacon, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a herd of bacon, a flock of bacon? What do we got
there? Seeing things that support both a rasher of bacon being a lot of bacon and a thin slice of bacon.
Great. Great. Get your shit together, pork belly industry.
What's it's going like on? Finding out that flammable and inflammable both mean the same thing.
Still reeling from that one. All right, so she made this bacon, and that's fine. Big, huge, giant pan with lots of sizzling. Yes, that's the word, not sizzling. Sizzling bacon. I could hear it almost upstairs, and I could smell it. The whole house is starting to smell like Bacon Town. Oh, so good, right? And the dog is losing her mind with the smell that's in the air. Then, while I'm down here working away, not long ago, I hear, meep, 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 meep. I go upstairs, and all the alarms are sounding. The entire house, everything's going off, and it's not because there's anything burning. It's just it can't deal with all the bacon.
A lot
air.
Of smoke, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to open the doors when it's like, I don't know, 15 degrees outside or something. That's Fahrenheit.
Let all that bacon smell out, and now your dog is full of dogs, or now your front yard is full of dogs staring patiently at your house.
Exactly. I would say this is about negative 15 Celsius. Isn't that about right? Because if you're at 32 or whatever is freezing Fahrenheit. So if that's 0 Celsius, right? Isn't that zero?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know space temperature.
I don't either. Gosh dang it, you weird aliens.
Space temperature.
Hipster European alien dirty millennials. But anyway, the house just smells so great. I just had like three pieces of bacon. It was real good, and I look forward to more.
Cool.
Let's talk about the West Wing and how it connects to the Taken movies. This is going to freak you out a little bit.
All right.
The West Wing's Alex Graves, he's one of the veteran TV producers that helped make The West Wing perhaps one of the finest television shows in the history of the medium. Mm-hmm. That's not me just saying that. I think a lot of people believe that.
A lot of people feel that way.
But it's mostly me saying that. anyway, he's going to be in charge of the Taken TV show, which will start with a pilot, based on the Liam Neeson business. And they're going to build a whole show around Taken. Hmm. Now, I would argue that Taken is basically 24.
Kind of is, right? I mean, it's you're going to learn on how he got that particular set of skills,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's like, oh, he's a retired spy man with lots of skills and can shoot a gun real good and all that stuff. And he's fine. He's retiring and he's just chilling until you take his daughter and then I'll kill you.
Right.
So,
this is like the prequel. The Taken prequel.
The Taken prequel, when he is a dude working for the man, yes.
Right, working for CIA or whatever.
Luc Besson is involved somehow.
Mm.
Don't know much more about his involvement, probably just producer, executive producer.
He's going to make everything look really weird, and then there's going to be a woman, a big blue woman, who sings in the corner of the CIA station.
Yeah, she could do that with her weird little thing she used to do. And
right.
What's his name? Yep. Can you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Freaking, he ruins that movie for me. Love that movie, except for that part.
Except for Chris Tucker.
Yep, and I like Chris Tucker. See, I've made this point before. I don't need to make it again, but I like Chris Tucker. I do not like what they did with him.
You could have dealt with one less element in that movie.
Yeah, the fourth element. He needs to go. all right, anyway, so this is a thing you may be able to watch soon, so look for that. Get excited, Brian.
Cool.
It's coming.
Yeah,
you like
excited.
It?
I'm interested. Very interested. He directed the pilots, by the way, this Graves guy. Of Fringe,
whoa,
which was excellent.
Yeah.
Proof, which I never saw. And Terra Nova.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We may have made a horrible error by saying this is going to be good. His last work was Terra Nova, wasn't it? It must have been.
That is the most recent of those three. Yeah.
Fringe came before. Listen, Terra Nova, I still submit, had incredible potential.
It did.
Just wasted on poor decisions about writing, probably network executive involvement, things like that.
Prehistoric Family Robinson, basically.
It had a potential, but it
you only saw it in the very last episode. I mean, it was basically trying to be Lost with a time machine.
Yeah, and it had that Avatar general guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who also was in Tombstone. He played, can't remember his name, but he was the wiener one that was always getting away.
That show. I'm trying to think of what network it would have been better on. I mean, obviously HBO or Netflix or something like that, but it had that NBC second season of Heroes sanitization.
Yes. Too clean, too shiny.
Right.
Too something. Give it to FX. Give it to AMC.
It didn't feel like they were ever in any danger until the very last episode, and it was too little too late. It was like, all right,
yeah,
we finally made this show exciting, and we're done.
I really dug the lead in that. I thought he was cool. I like him. I can't think of his name now, but I like him in things he's in.
Right.
And way to go there, NBC. You big dumbasses. You could have really done something. Could have been something right there, you know?
Stick to reality shows, why don't you?
So NBC.
Jason O'Mara is his name.
Oh, well, this will give you good. This will give you a heart attack then. NBC has announced the straight to series adaptation rights this fall. So NBC taking care of it. It declined to allude to the particular set of skills the producer and the writers possessed to tell a story of a man. A man's past is somehow set in the future, or the present, not the future. Unless they pose a quantum theory where Brian Mills is somehow able to bend time with that bone-breaking. I'm not going to read the rest of this Huffington Post article because they are nothing but text fillers. Huffington Right. Post, here's my problem with you. You got an article and you spend half your time just going and laughing at your own jokes. You're right. A bunch of shitty heads.
Exactly.
Who am I kidding? All right, Playboy in the news.
All right.
Their first non-nude edition, the NNE.
Right. Playboy 2.0.
Yep. Yep. Well, yeah, 3.0, I'd say. Because the first ones were pretty non-nude in the early days.
Sure. Okay.
Then they went nudie for 2.0. This is 3.0. we're not going back to non-nudie.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know when it turned. Was it Marilyn Monroe's bazungas that did it? Is that a term that women like me to use as bazungas?
No, because that was like, I want to say that was the first issue of Playboy had Marilyn Monroe, wasn't it?
No, did it?
Earlier than that?
Were her milk buddies out?
Yes, they were.
All right. I don't remember.
Milk buddies?
Well, you know.
Wow.
Breasticles. Chest monsters. I don't know. What do we call them these days?
Okay, just stop. Just stop.
I better stop while I'm ahead. While I'm still behind.
Yeah, there's no ahead.
Playboy offered a sneak peek at what the magazine's first non-nude issue will look like on Thursday. The March 2016 issue will be released next week. So once again, magazines make no sense to me as far as their time travel abilities. I don't get it. But the whole here's March's issue in the early part of February. Anyway, I will no longer include images of fully nude women, but that doesn't mean the centerfolds are any less steamy. The new issue features women in provocative poses, leaning towards the camera and snapping pictures as if they were posing for selfies in Snapchat or other social media sites.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, the cover, you got to see it. The cover features social media star Sarah McDaniel. Don't know who she is.
I don't know who she is either.
My name's McDaniel, not McDonald's. Something, something, something. How's that Run DMC song go?
I don't know, but I'm liking it. Keep going. So
it's my name's McDaniel because it's something McDaniel. Daryl McDaniel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
McDaniels, not McDonald's. I got four legs and they call me... I don't know what it is. Anyway, she leans toward the camera provocatively with the words, "Hey, smiley face," written over the shot as if she was taking a Snapchat selfie. The new look is meant to create more intimate experience for the reader, Playboy staff said in a statement. The idea was to look at... here's the girl talking. The idea was to look at me from a boyfriend's perspective, McDaniel said in a statement. Playboy tweeted a picture of McDaniel on Thursday with the caption, "Say hello to a new era."
Interesting.
I hate it right now. Look, I'm not even a Playboy aficionado or anything. I hate this, we're going to be like the kids.
Exactly. We're going to take something that people can see online and make a paper version of it.
They'll look at it and say, this is just like a selfie in Snapchat.
It's going to be the paper version of Instagram.
We're old guys in suits and we think we know what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like
it. All right. Can't wait for Playboy 4.0 where they decide to just go the other direction and
just go
take
hardcore.
You completely into a vagina.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. That's the vagina issue. The first vagina 3.0 issue of Playboy.
That's right. Exactly.
Anyway, there's that. Hey, how about a related story? Not really.
Okay.
The 99 million year old erection is making penis history.
Penistery.
Penistery. Penn Island. Penis land. Anyway, I can't read Huffington Post's prose here. Anyway, it's a fossilized relative of modern day daddy long leg. You know, those spiders, they're like spiders, but they're not really spiders, whatever. And they eat mosquitoes. Anyway, it was found in Burma. Elaine, did I ever tell you about the erect penis I found in Burma? Let's see. This bug has a 99 million year old wiener.
Well, specifically an erection.
Yeah. Yeah. Still is wiener, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the fossils that they found had wieners. Well, half.
Did they, though? Like, when they found early man, like Cro-Magnon, mummified man, did he have, a shriveled up mummy wiener?
Of course.
How do you know for sure, though? I want someone to look and see.
I think that it would have raised questions about the origins of man if prehistoric, you know, Neanderthal man was born without junk. More than Mulder would be questioning the origin of man.
Yeah, he wants to believe.
He wants to believe.
I don't know, man.
I'm just saying that because what I'm imagining for a prehistoric early relative of modern day daddy long legs is scary enough.
Yeah.
But imagining one of those with an erection really freaks me the hell out.
Coming at you going, I heard they got mosquitoes here.
Exactly.
Anyway, this one in particular, it's called Halitherses Grimaldi. He's doing a great job on Doctor Who this season. I really like Halitherses Grimaldi.
He's a great 15th Doctor.
Yeah, best Doctor they've ever done. Was probably doing it with a female when he perhaps fell into an oozing resin packing I can't read this. I'll read it, but I hate it. It says packing.
You're almost writing it like somebody's going to have to read this out loud.
Yeah, I know. It says packing his pecker for eternity, according to scientists behind the study describing the finding. Jeez, HuffPo. Really? Why did I pull articles from you? I could have gotten that story about the spider wiener anywhere.
Oh, no. My husband's home early. Quick, jump into that pile of resin and hide.
I'm home, honey. Bzz, rough day at the office. Bzz, bzz, bzz. What is that? What is that amber blob in the corner? Don't worry, Derek. Dinner's ready. I'll get the kids.
My God.
Finally, in the news, before we take a break, we got a morning person thing. Okay, I would call you a morning person. You're pretty good at it. Mm. You don't. I mean, not that you can't stay up. You can. Brian sure. Can party, yo.
Hey, I can stay up for 24 hours when I need to.
Mm-hmm. You do that better than me, but you get up. In the morning, you get a lot done. You know, it's treadmill, shower, ready, shows, right. Stuff, bang, right. Bam, boom. I'm always impressed by it because I'm a terrible morning person. I still do it. I'm up every day at 6:30, but I hate every freaking second of it, and I stay up way too late. All right? So that's kind of my problem. They say here that being a morning person might be genetic. So, Brian, you got to look back in your family history.
Interesting.
The ancient mosquito wiener that led to our beginnings. It says here.
How did he come up a mosquito? Is it daddy long legs a minute ago?
Oh, sorry. I'm shrinking it as we talk. Sorry. If you like to wake up with the sun, you may be inheriting a certain gene. A leading personal genetics company, 23andMe Incorporated.
Really? Really?
All right. Arrived at the conclusion after researching the human genome, which is one of the largest of its kind. The genome-wide association study pursued its experiments in 15 locations in DNA that examined the morningness of a person. They had 89,000 participants, and they found they're finding that 7 of the DNA locations were near the genes managing circadian rhythm.
Circadian,
including
circadian rhythm.
HCRTR2,
sure.
Linked to narcolepsy, inability to sleep, and so on, and FBXL3. It's best video card I ever bought. Best money I ever spent.
Oh, yeah. The EVGA FBXL3.
Oh, it was so good, dude.
Yes.
Oh, pushing polygons. I mean, for its time, it was something else. Or extended circadian periods and VIP, the increases REM sleep. Boy, there's a lot of acronyms.
It's just rich with acronyms, yeah. Initialisms. So, in here.
Anyway, they found that if 43.6% of the people studied showed signs of this morningness tendency, and they all had similar gene patterns. So
interesting. Tina has the opposite. She is not what I would call a morning person. And if it's genetic, then Tristan is definitely taken after her. Yeah. Although I think it's just typical teenagerism.
Yeah. Plus he hits his morningness could claim would be his 3 a.m. in the fridge morning, which is really night for him and morning for the rest of us. So
right.
You mentioned you were going to talk to him when he got home about his 3 a.m.
Kitchen. Oh, yeah, I did.
How'd that go?
And, I'm not, you know, I can get up just fine. I'm getting up just fine for school.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's what all my kids say.
Yes, exactly.
And they're all full of crap, every one of them. I know. It's kids. Yeah. It's teenagers, dude. Watch when he hits the big 2-0, suddenly everything will change. He'll just pop into gear.
Well, let's hope. I can't wait for those days. Well, that's a year. That's a year from now.
That's a lot of time for someone his age. That's a 1/18 of his life. So think of that. For us, that's one. Let's see, what's the percentage of 1 year for us now? Well, it's easy. It's 1/46 of our life.
Right, exactly. Yes. Pretty easy to calculate.
I don't like that.
Half a percentage. We're half a percentage of 100 years. I don't know where am I going with this?
I don't
this?
Know where you're going. I like it though. Yeah. I like it. You're blazing a new trail. Yes.
We're 2%. There we go. 1 year is 2% of our life.
Of
is that
our,
right?
Am of I, our life? Oh, yeah. If we live to be 100, it's. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you know, 1 year, 46 years old.
Oh, right. 2% of the time we've lived so far.
Of the time we've lived each year is so far. Right. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, you're frozen, by the way, on Twitch.
Am I? Oh, I am. Why am I frozen? But people can hear me, right?
Yeah. Well, they can hear you and they can even see the chains moving. They can still see me moving. That's but super you're frozen. Annoying. And you know what we could do? Why don't we? Should we do the middle song break, and then while that's going on?
Yeah, I'll fix it.
Cool.
I can fisk it.
Fisk it.
I think it's just a camera problem. I'll just plug it and plug it back in. Should be no problem because it's still recording.
And turned it off and turned it back on again.
That's really weird. Anyway, all right, let's parlay into music and then we'll do that. What do you got?
Sweetly. I got a cover for you. This one going out to Jennifer, a.k.a. The Jen in the Tadpool. She says, I want to dedicate a song to my wonderful husband, Jameson. 3 years ago on February 5th, the day we now lovingly call J-Day, with just one suitcase of his belongings and the rest in storage, he moved from Wisconsin to California just to be with me. He's been going through a lot of medical challenges the last few years, and I thought hearing a song just for him would cheer him up a bit. His favorite bands are Journey and Queen. Our first dance song was Faithfully, but I trust Brian's judgment on specific song choice. Loving the No Snow Bro, The Jen in the Tadpool.
That's me and Kim's song, Faithfully.
Faithfully, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not for any lyrical reason, I can guarantee
you
that.
Sure, say that the road is no place to start a family.
Yeah, it was our first dance as well, so congratulations.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Well, I didn't have a really good cover of it, so I'm going with the Queen side of things that she said that his other favorite band.
All right.
And looking through the list is like, all right, yeah, We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, Bohemian Rhapsody. I've played covers of all those on here, probably several different versions, and You're My Best Friend and stuff like that. I want to do something a little bit more obscure, you know, a lesser known Queen track covered on here. So I'm going with a cover of Sleeping on the Sidewalk. I think this was from News of the World. Really, really cool album. Great album.
All right.
And this cover is by Los Lobos, a band people are probably familiar with. And you'll find this cover on the 2005 album, Killer Queen, a tribute to Queen. And I felt like it was appropriate. It's a rags to riches to rags story, but there was something about it that reminded me of this guy traveling from Wisconsin to California to be with the Jen. So here is Los Lobos from Killer Queen and their version of Sleeping on the Sidewalk.
Then was a sleeping on the sidewalk, rolling down the road. I may get hungry, I sure don't wanna go home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo.
That was rocking. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard Los Lobos in a while. That was pretty rad.
No, it has been a while, right?
I liked it. Made me a little warm in places I'm not used to being warm. Check this.
Well, that's what Los Lobos is all about. That's why they got into music.
Yeah. I don't remember anything since like the La Bamba movie, I think.
Right. Yeah, that was their big thing, right? The cover of La Bamba.
Didn't they do some other stuff with like Rodriguez, the movie guy? I think so. Something.
Probably.
Don't remember. I do remember this. That's right. It's time for the esports wrap up with Garrett Weinhurl. Garrett, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
We're good, man. How you doing?
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I'm doing all right. I'm totally unprepared. I forgot to turn my green screen on.
Well,
you are not prepared.
What's weird is Skype is only seeing you anyway on my other computer, so I don't know what Skype thinks. It is jacked up.
It sounds like it's working as intended.
Yeah, exactly the way we meant it to.
Are we getting standard Garrett Weinzierl today or wild Garrett Weinzierl today?
Yeah, which one do we
get? It's almost like you guys were 100% sure of what I was going to talk about today.
Interesting. So I actually really am going to appreciate this because I need someone to really explain it to me. Now, here's my understanding. They come out over there at Blizzard and Team 5 and they say, look, there's a problem with card bloat. All these games experience it. The collectible card games have known it for years. They kind of have their own set of solutions for Magic, and people make up their own solutions for that all the time on how they're going to handle this bloated building pile of cards that keep coming and still making the early ones relevant or not relevant or whatever. Yep. This is their attempt to fix all that. So explain it, and then let's make a determination whether we all think it's a good idea or not.
Yeah, well, okay, cool. Well, the big news, obviously, this week is Hearthstone's getting a new format. And as you just said, we're getting one is called Standard, one is called Wild. Mm. And the big difference there is if you're currently playing Hearthstone, everyone listening right now, are you playing Hearthstone?
I'm cool. Playing. Yes, they are. All of them raised their hand virtually just
everyone
now.
Everyone just said yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Well, Wild is what you're currently playing, and it will not change. Every single card that will ever be released for Hearthstone for the foreseeable future will still be usable in Wild.
Okay.
However, what is changing is we're getting Standard, a second format. So right now, when you go into the game and you hit play and you go into ranked and you ladder up, you work your way from your Angry Chicken rank to Legend rank if you're a total nerd baller.
Mm-hmm. Or you just go as far as you can to get the card back, like me.
Exactly. Yes. You and Katie are in the same boat. So there's going to be two of those now. You can rank up in Wild, or you can go rank up in Standard. The ranks will be the same.
Okay.
Yeah, the ranks are going to be the same. It's going to be Angry Chicken rank all the way up through Legend. You're still going to get your ranked rewards. You're going to get your chest at the end, depending on how high of a rank you hit. You are not going to get two ranked chests. You're still only going to get one, and it will be whatever your highest rank is between the two, either Standard or Wild.
Oh, okay. So let's just say I'm some kind of freak and I'm really good at this game and I have rank one in both, or I achieve legendary in both.
Wouldn't matter. You can't. The best ranked chest you can get is for rank five. After you go above that, you're not getting better rewards.
And you're not going to get two for getting five on both. You're going to get one between them, right?
Exactly. So a better example is say you hit five in Wild, but you hit 10 in Standard. You're going to get a rank five chest.
Okay, got it. That makes sense, because it's going to give you wherever you did the best.
Exactly. Yeah. If you hit Legend for the first time on one of them, it doesn't matter. You still get your Legend card back.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to freak the world out at all, But when this announcement came out, I know this is going to seem crazy, but hear me out. A bunch of people on the internet didn't like it. I know that's a shock. I know people have losing their minds on the internet. Just have, you know,
entitled nerds are angry. You don't say, Scott.
I know. I'm not trying to ruin your worldview.
On the internet offered an opinion?
Yeah, and one that's controversial and a little hateful and a little rage quitty. I know. We're living in a new time, and you guys need to get up to speed because it is a real problem out there. No, but for real, like, people lost their minds, and then I saw it and went, actually, I think they're talking to me here. This might be for me. So I'm excited.
It does seem like it's going to make, you know, the casual player give them a lot easier barrier to entry to get in and not feel like they've got all this history that they have to know. Like, oh yeah, I've got to know what the piloted shredder does. I have to know what Dr. Boom is and how to get rid of it. And I have to know what, you know, mana worms are and whatever.
Or at the very least, Dr. Boom, actually. It's not even so much that they need to know those things. It's just they may be coming back from a time when they played it last that they do know all those decks. They do know what all those meta games were at the time. And then now the meta has shifted. There are a billion new cards available. They skipped the last two expansions, so they don't really know what those are yet. They need to earn everything. Every constructed deck they find online is completely out of date now because, you know, they've moved on from when he was a good player or whatever. Right, like, I love the idea that I can get in and go, all right, I'm in as if the game kind of is new now again.
And that will be less effective depending on what time of the year you jump in. You know, if you jump in right when the Switch happens, which, by the way, we haven't really explained what standard is yet.
Go ahead.
A quick sidebar is standard is going to be the classic cards, the basic cards, and all adventures and expansions that have come out within the last 2 years.
Okay.
So what is happening in standard is basically cards that are from certain expansions and certain adventures will be dropping off. So what this means for the very near future is when the next Hearthstone expansion comes out, we are losing Goblins versus Gnomes and we are losing Naxxramas cards.
Wow. Goblins versus Gnomes feels like that was yesterday.
It totally does.
That's weird.
That was a big deal.
2014 BlizzCon, right?
Exactly. First year I ever had a media pass. I remember sitting down with Team 5 at BlizzCon talking about GBG.
That's right. That was a big deal.
There were way too many of us crammed into a really small soundproof booth.
I remember that.
So
go ahead, Brian.
So what does this mean for adventures that were released in the past? Like, will you still be able to, even though you can't use the cards from it, will you still be able to play Naxxramas?
Well, here's the thing. You will still be able to use the cards from it in Wild. But
not using the cards from it. I'm saying, like, can you still, like, Scott hasn't done some of these old campaigns, I'm guessing, right?
Let's say Black Rock Mountain, which I skipped. I want to go buy Black Rock Mountain, and let's say that that is on the, well, let's say Naxxramas for sake of argument, because we know that one's being pulled, right?
Right. Yeah. So you will not be able to buy Naxxramas once it falls off.
Okay. See, that's interesting.
You will also not be able to buy Goblins versus Gnomes packs once that falls off. So anything that falls off is removed from the store. You will still be able to craft those cards with dust, though. As it stands right now, you cannot craft any adventure mode cards except for the golden versions. You can't craft them
because you got to have the basics first, and then you can get gold.
Right. I don't know because I've never not owned an adventure on the day of, but I would assume that you would have to complete the adventure to unlock the cards before they'll let you craft the golden versions. Or maybe they don't care because the dust value is so overinflated.
This makes sense to me from the standard point of view, but if your plan is to play Wild and all cards are still included, wouldn't that go to say that the adventure for Naxxramas would still be available so you could unlock those cards, or will I only be able to craft them after that?
You will only be able to craft them. It is confirmed from Team 5.
That's crazy.
GBG packs and old event, if it drops off, it is no longer legal to play those cards in standard, you will not be able to purchase those things in the store.
Okay.
Now, I would assume that is to just ease of use. I'm sure they want to cut down on the support tickets from people that buy a GBG pack, go into standard, and don't understand why they can't use those cards.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, but from the perspective of somebody who... here's an artist's perspective.
Okay.
Will the Naxxramas board and the Black Rock Mountain board and, you know, these unique boards that they included with those expansions, will those go into the rotation so that you're getting randomized versions of those boards? I mean, it's a small thing, but I'm just curious.
Interesting question.
I don't have an answer to.
I hope so.
Young Wu is actually coming on the Angry Chicken on Monday So I will ask him.
All right. For a second, I thought you said John Woo, and that's also exciting.
That would also be wonderful.
He'll, that one has a board with a slow motion dove that rises out halfway between.
Yeah, of course. And he'll be, you got to be back to back. Your two heroes will have their backs to each other and talk before they shoot.
Exactly. A lot of Kimbo double pistol wielding.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Yeah, it'd be amazing. In fact, you just described a card game I would buy. So
my recommendation to anybody listening, but for me, the campaigns were my favorite part of the game. I love, playing against other people's great and ranking up and moving up the ladder. Sure. Fun. But for me, the creativity that they had in those campaigns or in the adventures were some of the most fun I've ever had in a video game,
I'm right there with you. Of all the things, and I know, Scott, you opened this with, hey, there are some people who are mad about this.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing that I take any issue with is I'm just kind of scratching my head as to why they wouldn't let people still buy adventures, if for no other reason than because of the solo play aspect of it.
Right.
Or maybe just keep them in, make them free, let people play through them. Maybe they just don't unlock cards, but let them do it just for the fun of it, because... Mm-hmm. There's some really cool content in there.
I still don't understand, even if they, let's say that they do that, why would it be bad to collect those cards? You still need them in Wild anyway, you know? Like,
I think it's for simplicity's sake, because someone's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Someone's going to buy it, unlock those cards, and then be really angry that they can't use it in standard.
Why can't I use this one? I don't know.
Yeah, you make a good point.
And again, this is my opinion. They haven't really spoken to that. And given their 100% accurate answer as to why they came to that conclusion, hopefully we'll get to talk about it on Mondays.
To me, it feels like the equivalent of WoW saying, the WoW team saying, all right, look, we're pulling all these old raids out. You can't even look at old WoW anymore. We've removed it, even though, mm-hmm. there's no real value to it now other than running old stuff, getting transmogs and things like that. But there's some value in just saying, yeah, remember that place? Let's go there. I feel like maybe people are going to be sad. I mean, I guess you'll still be able to play it if you own it. Right.
Right. And they did say that even if you've only unlocked one wing of it, like say you bought it with gold and you only bought one wing, you're good. You're fine. You can take your sweet time for the rest of forever to unlock the rest of it. As long as you own at least a tiny piece of an adventure, once it's removed, you can then unlock the rest of the wings.
Well, devil's in the details. Sounds like he'll give you a little more information on Monday about what's going on. Speaking of which, killing it over there on the Angry Chicken. Anything coming up there outside of that you'd like the fine folks to know about?
Oh, everything I do can be found on amove.tv. I brought back my solo show. Check out The Angry Nerd. Launched the Patreon for that, so go do that.
The Angry Nerd, everyone.
Are you really that angry, though, Garrett? Come on,
I really get particularly angry on that show, but that's because it's more personal. So by the time I get to it, I've leveled my head out a bit.
Yeah,
wait till you've been married for a while, though. You'll find it a lot easier to call that emotion up.
Yeah, it'll come up later. Also,
to dig deep.
I've only seen you mad ever once, and it was in a Heroes game where we were getting our butts handed to us or something. And I remember,
clearly we need to play more Heroes together.
Yeah, because I haven't seen near enough anger out of you. But I get
super ragey when I'm in a competitive video game.
Yeah, you want to see something crazy. Bo Schwartz, Gorath, who's the nicest, cuddliest puppy dog guy ever, get him into a try-hard Hero League match, all bets are off. He will
really,
because
I play
off.
Hero League with him all the time, and he's nice and calm, but maybe it's just in comparison to me, who I'm just cussing the paint off the walls.
Maybe, but he'll do, and if it's just two of you, that's one thing, because he knows that he's only got so much control in there, but if we go in as a five-man, he turns into Coach Chuck Taylor, freaking yell at the team and sit on the bench. He's like major, major, and we like it. I shouldn't say this is a complaint. I like it.
Oh,
Because he figures, look, if we're all five of us are going to do that, if we're going to play at that level and try to play there, then it's a different world than Quick Match or Two-Man Hero League. We're going to really go
absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to go into Team League and go in together. No, I absolutely just, out of nowhere, my raid leader hat comes back from ye olden WoW days.
And more dots and you don't know what the F to do, you're going to start saying. Hey, did you need a quick up or down vote on Lei Ming? I really like her. What do you think?
I think she's fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah. She needs a little tuning, but I think she's amazing.
She's a great hero. It heroes needs heroes like this. Something that, since we do not level individually, mm-hmm. we still need a way to be a carry. And this is the type of hero where, like, if you are good with her, you can help lead the team to victory. But if you're Pad, you're going to really screw things up.
Yeah, she's awesome. Very skill cappy and awesome. Well, good. Well, this is always fun. I always like it. It's Garrett Wines, earlymove.tv, Garrett Art on Twitter. Garrett, stay out of trouble, and we'll catch you next time.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
Hey, the music ended right then. How cool is that?
It's
how
perfect.
Rare is that? That's a rarity.
It was almost like he was watching the time or something.
Weird. All right. That means this. Whoa, this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Bird goes tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
Can you believe this?
And you can that always was, follow me on Twitter.
That was back in 2012.
Wow.
Wow,
such
dude.
Such a quaint time back in that in those election days.
Yep. If I could get up in front of Rick Perry's face right now, you know what I'd say?
Please run.
Hello there.
That's what I'd do. Sure. Let's do some Ask TMS questions. These come to us via the hashtag Ask TMS on Twitter. We ask you guys to send us questions throughout the week, and we answer them right here for you. And starting today, we begin with Kevin Bennett, who says, why are you guys so awesome? Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, awesome in what,
well,
in
true.
What, in
He's
what
right.
way?
He's right.
Like size, like...
I see what you're saying. Like impressive or just ginormous?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 6'4". you're about my height anyway, right? 6'3", 6'4", something like that?
Yeah.
We're about the same height.
6'2", 6'3".
We are imposing, tall gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that's what he means.
That's exactly what he means.
Mike LeChance, which is French for the chance.
Wasn't he one of the guys? Mike LeChance, is he went and saw the dead body and had to outrun the train with Will Wheaton. Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the... The Lost Boys.
I know your mother, LeChance. I know all your parents.
I love that guy. He says, if Brian and Scott got into an epic fight, who would, or what would be over? What would be over? I think he means what would we win?
What would it be over, probably?
Oh, what would it be over?
What would we fight over?
Oh, gosh. What is there to fight over?
Yeah.
Brian is a nice round hole to my round peg.
Oh my god!
I decided to go all in on
ice swarm. I'd like to never ever hear that hear that one again. I forbid you.
You are hereby forbidden.
You keep your 99 million year old erection away from.
Yeah,
me, sir.
I'm not coming near anyone with that thing. This is a hard one. I can't think of anything.
It would be over something like. I can't imagine ever fighting, but it would be something like, some sort of geek property that we're arguing over which one's better or worse. Or
yeah, it would be a dumb nerd argument that later we'd go.
Big Bang Theory argument.
Yeah, and later we'd be going, ugh, that's such a dumb thing to argue about, and we'd make up. But yeah, we've never really had anything, really, have we?
Right. No.
Nothing. No altercation.
Not at all.
I don't know why people want to seem to have us have one. It's like there's like this weird... I'm getting this sense 5 years in. People are like, hey, when are they going to have... When's the honeymoon over? When are they going to have their big fight?
They saw what it did for Jerry and Brian's relationship. Oh, and
that was hardcore, dude. Did you ever watch that?
I never did. I can't bring myself
I did, and I couldn't do the whole thing. It was like watching some of your favorite people fight.
Exactly,
I didn't
like it. Yeah. I have no desire to see that.
Jerry told me to see it because he says it's cathartic. I'm like, no, that was not cathartic. That was...
Weird. What a weird thing to...
That was flame retardant. Anyway, what do we got here? do either of you, says Joseph Pound, do either of you play tabletop RPGs? If so, which ones? If not, why not? Well, I'm an if not, why not? I used to play D&D all the time back in the day, and I still do various things with my kids here and there, but mainly it's time. I don't really have time for like a big game night necessarily enough people around me physically that would have that predilection to want to play with me. So I wish I could more. I wish I could.
That is about right. I mean, into tabletop games and man, Tristan... And his girlfriend Cora and Tina and I have been playing a lot of tabletop games lately. Been playing a lot of Sushi Go.
Oh, yeah.
Card games. Well, actually, a lot of card games. Sushi Go, we've been playing. Exploding Kittens, we've been having a blast with.
That's a fun game, no pun intended.
The
blast part.
We picked up the one we talked about on this show last year called Boss Monster.
Oh, yeah. Dan brought it up. Oh,
right.
Was it Boss Monster? Yeah.
Boss Monster. It's the one where you build a dungeon, like a platformer dungeon.
Oh, right.
And you collect the dead heroes, the dead Marios, basically, that die as they're trying to get to the boss level of your dungeon.
I love that.
It's a really, really fun
game. I love the concept. I never played it. We still play the hell out of whenever we get a chance. We pull out Code Names and play that. Code Names is amazing.
Oh, yeah, Code Names is another great one.
So we do that occasionally, but like big campaign-y like RPG stuff, I just don't know who.
Just don't have the time for it.
Yeah. I have too many other things going on right now.
Yeah. I did pick up The Witness.
Yeah, what'd you think so far? You played it yet?
I'm 30 minutes in, and I love it, and... I had to figure out, was really a difficult figure out, but I got it installed on my Surface Pro so that I can play upstairs while I'm sitting up there hanging out with Tina.
How's it run? Good on there?
Runs perfectly fine. Yeah. Right. Even full graphics, it runs beautifully. The only problem I got to figure out on the Surface, how to make it so that when I'm in full screen game mode, that touching the screen operates like the mouse. Cause right now I have to use the arrow keys on the keyboard to move, which I'm fine with, but I want to be able to use my finger on screen like a mouse, and it currently doesn't do that.
I wonder if the plugged-in 360 controller would do it. It might.
Well, but I want to touch the screen, Scott.
Well, if you want to touch the screen, yeah, that's different.
Yeah, I want to touch the screen. Because part of the thing you're doing in this game is drawing a path through a little puzzle block, and I want to be able to do that like I'm on an iPad.
Well, Jonathan Blow but acknowledged that an iOS version is coming, so that'll be good.
Oh, really?
I may wait until that, just because I don't think I have time for it now anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that interface I think is perfect for an iPad.
Yeah, from what I've seen, you should stream some of that and let people watch you struggle with puzzles. That'd be fun.
Okay, we'll do.
I would watch that. How about this one? Vegas QC says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I'd love to know what VR headset you'll be probably adopting and why." So I pre-ordered the Oculus.
Oh, right. You even did it on this show, on this very program with Tom Merritt, I believe.
Correct. And there's been no other pre-orders, so it's the only one you can pre-order at the moment. I settled on that for a couple of reasons. One, I can justify it as a tax write-off, and it's a thing I can test and use for shows. And, you know, just generally it's a sort of a business expense, which sounds weird to say, I know, but it is. I still have guilt about the kinds of things my accountant says I need to buy with my money to make sure my taxes are okay. It makes me feel weird. But anyway, I am going to get that because I feel like out of the gate, they've got the most money, the most support, and the most potential for the enthusiast side of things. But I still maintain that the PlayStation VR is going to end up being the dominant one, given the install base and how many people have PS4s and how much less expensive it is for someone to get into VR at that level.
Right.
So my guess is, Brian, I will probably not own both the Oculus and the Vive. Not right away. It's just too expensive. But there's a strong likelihood that I will have both the Oculus, which I will have, and then the PlayStation VR when it hits.
Cool. Yeah, I'm waiting to see how the dust settles on all this stuff. And
smart move, by the way.
Because I have a PS4, I'm probably just going to do the PlayStation one, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so if somebody said, well, why Oculus and why not just wait for the PlayStation one? My simple answer is if I didn't already have this big monster computer rig, I probably would do that.
Right. You have a lot of great, like you play a lot of games on your PC. I don't.
Yeah, and if you don't, it's a huge investment. Like for someone who doesn't do that, they got to go out and shell out $1,500 just for a good box to have the minimum specs you need to run this thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, when people ask me, I recommend the route Brian's talking about, you know, get in on that level. Right. Everyone can afford a PS4 for the most part. Do that. Although I mean, that's not, none of this means I'm throwing Vive under the bus. I think that stuff looks great. I like the Steam VR stuff. But as devices are, they're really comparable. And if anything, the Vive has a weakness where it wants you to have a bigger space to get full potential out of it. And I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Next one. Let's see. Would you? Oh, okay. Sloan Osborne. Ozane. Would you rather have the superpower to fly or become invisible?
Ooh.
I feel like we've done this before, but I don't remember.
Feel like we have. Fly.
Yeah, I think I'd like to fly. Like both.
I'm sorry, but give me the power to be invisible and I'll figure out, I'll probably end up being a perv. I don't see me using that for a lot of good, honestly. Like what, you know.
That is really funny. It's very, you know what? I mean, if a lot of people were honest about it, that's kind of, I mean, and that's the thing. It'd be like Groundhog Day. After a while, you'd be like, all right, freaking,
exactly.
This sucks. Like how many times can I sneak into a supermodel's changing room
right.
before I mean, this gets boring.
So yeah, I can help stop crimes if I know where they're going to be committed yeah. and if I can get into the building as well and be there when the burglars get there, right? I mean, you know, the invisibility thing, it sounds great on paper, but what are you going to do? But flying, hey, you know.
All about flying, yep.
Yeah, totally stop crimes, like whatever.
How about this? This would be the perfect, to me, it's the perfect superpower. I fly, but when I fly, I am invisible and only then. So I can't be invisible anytime.
Well, we've talked about this, and you would just hover. If you want the invisibility without the flying, you just basically hover in place.
Right. But I'd have to have both. So I want to be able to be up in the sky. Nobody can see me, but I am flying. That would be amazing. Then I could solve crime and be invisible. So that means the government couldn't find me out there when they're trying to shoot me down because they're afraid of me or whatever. Like, it's going to be good. Like this is all coming. I'm all talking like it's going to happen. All right. That's funny. Skipping down. Let's do one more of these. Oh, here's an important one. It was a short one, so we'll do two more. Sunglow Steve asks, Blizzard or McFlurry? It's an important one, dude.
It is an important one. Blizzard, all the way. Blizzard, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's got to be a Blizzard. Blizzard DQ, right?
Who's got a buy one, get one free coupon right here?
What?
For a buy one, get one free mini, small, or medium Blizzard treat. This guy right here.
Oh, my gosh. And that is Dairy Queen. I have that right in my head, right?
It is Dairy Queen, yes.
McFlurry's obvious where they come from.
Right, exactly.
From
McDonald's ass.
let's see. Warren Cheeks says finally, where is it? Is there any live for Inside Out? What does that mean?
Is there any
life, maybe? He said live. For me, it was better than Force Awakens and slightly lower than Dustlands.
Love.
Oh, any love is what he meant. He put live. Yeah, sure. There's absolute huge
love.
Giant tons of love for Inside Out. I love that movie.
Yeah, loved it too.
I don't always have to compare all my movies though. I mean, I do it occasionally, like this one he's referring to as Dustlands. I tend to really like that one a lot. But yeah, no, dude, Inside Out's one of the best movies of the year, period. In fact, I was a little disappointed it didn't do that one. That thing they do occasionally with animation, it sneaks into the Best Picture category.
Best Picture, right.
Yeah, I kind of thought that one might. Yeah, it's really good. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, final one. Let's do one more. I keep saying that, but this really is our last one.
No, I love this segment.
If you both live closer, would you broadcast together in the same space or remain separate? No, we would totally be in the same space.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you kidding? I mean, it depends on what you mean by close, but like if Brian and I lived in the same, you know, 10-mile space or something.
Right.
We would do some studio business, man.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think we'd set up our stuff so that we have the option to do it remotely. Mm-hmm. Because there are going to be some days it's like, I'm just going to roll out of bed and want to do TMS. But it's funny because I'd almost see the more value in us getting together on a day when we're not doing the show to talk about some things we want to do for the show.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, I'd love the lunches we would have would be insane. We do special content where we record those conversations.
Exactly.
We do all kinds of crap. We do live on site, like video extra stuff. We'd go crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, let's not even talk about it. It depresses me. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Move out here, Scott.
I don't have anyone else.
Forsake Utah.
Salt Lake City. It's a wonderful place to live.
What is it there, though, really? I mean, what's so great about
that? What's the difference? You've got crazy neighbors. I've got crazy neighbors. Anyway, if you guys want to submit your own questions to us, it's real simple. Ask TMS on Twitter, and we'll answer them the very next TMS PM that comes up. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all again for using patreon.com/TMS. Keep the show alive and thriving and getting this extra episode a week. For everything else, go to frogpants.com/TMS. It's all right there. Let's get out of here. You got some music?
Of course I got music.
Let's do it.
Like, you got Slack on that business?
Well, you never know.
Yeah, well, okay.
All right.
Paul, who goes by the name Mush Potatoes in the chat room.
All right.
Says, hey, Toe Jam and Earl, I'm having a little bit of oral surgery on February 4th, and I was hoping to have something funky to listen to while I wait for the drugs to wear off. I think that Cake's cover of War Pigs would be orally stimulating, I should say. If that won't do, then any groovy cover from Cake would be excellent. If all else fails, you could always play Darius Rucker's Baby I'm Right.
I don't have that handy, and I didn't click it. I feel good about it. I feel all right about it. You know what I have to say to him?
Hello there.
Take that. That's when you guys misdirect me and I don't have to play it. So there it is.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Love the show, though, Paul. All right. Had to look in the past and see if I've played this on the show. Certainly not in the last couple of years, so we're going to do it. We're doing it right now. War Pigs, this is from their B-Sides and Rarities album from 2007. Of course it's a cover of Black Sabbath. I didn't need to tell you that. It's Cake and War Pigs.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. Stops turning as you hear the bodies burning. No more war pigs have the power.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I need something to play.
What?